This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable, a Wood Elf production. This week, Mark judges and proclaims his elation at being sponsored by Intel. Boom, 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 boom. How wonderful is that? Pamela Horton has her integrity questioned by that blackguard Bob. Ancient microorganisms hibernate in salt crystals. Wade has to be schooled on the proclivities of medieval women. And nostalgia can be cured with public ridicule, leeches, and warm hypnotic emulsions. Whatever that is. Yes, it's time for Broken News. Now sit back and prepare to be distracted and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Distractable One and All. Come on down, take a seat, grab some popcorn. You're in for a treat. Whoa. We have it all here. We have everything. We have shows. We have sights. We have fireworks. We have fire.
These nuts.
Really, that was an amazing opening.
My these nuts are amazing.
I mean, that joke is always funny, but he's just disappointed.
It is always funny.
I can tell by how much laughter there was when I said it.
No, it's funny, but I'm holding the laughs in. They're bottled up behind my disappointment.
I wish they wouldn't be, because man, oh man, nothing makes me feel funnier than when you guys go dead silent when I say something I think is hilarious.
Mark's intro was so delightful. You could have done the D's Nuts joke like 30 seconds later.
That would have been as irrelevant as my career. Thank you.
That's my real laugh.
Well, we do have an incredible show for you this week. Thank you so much for being our loyal listeners.
Welcome.
Not like those traitors that we don't talk about. Not like those.
We don't talk about them.
You would follow us anywhere, right? Any platform, yes. Like MySpace, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Because we have no announcement for you.
Yes, we don't. Definitely not. On this week's episode, I am the judge. If you are a new listener that has just somehow discovered us, I don't know what methods of discoverability you have sought this out, but welcome. My name is Mark, also known as Markiplier. I'm joined by Bob and Wade as co-hosts. Well, not co-hosts.
Well.
Co-participants?
Sure.
In this week's?
It works.
Sure, co-casters. Yeah. We're casting
co-casters,
right now.
Co-casters. This one will be a bit more of a collaborative experience, I think, than the previous ones have been. There's been a bit of a like overly competitive atmosphere in here. And I think we've really detracted from the core meaning of what Distractable is all about and getting to know each other and talking about the things that we love and care about.
Oh.
And winning. Winning is also a part of it. Someone will still be a winner and I have to make that decision, but I'm going to make it very arbitrarily. And I really don't want you to focus on the points. Even if you hear a lot of points and a lot of like, ding, 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 ka-ching, ka-ching, like, don't worry about it. It's all good. Doesn't relate to you and your performance in any way. So before we get started, like, we do have an announcement. No matter what Wade said, it's not true. We do have an announcement. We have made it. We made it.
Yep.
We have a big boy sponsorship and we're real sponsors now.
Oh.
We're really sponsors.
We're real boys now.
We're real boys now. Yeah, you heard it right. Intel. Intel decided to sponsor us. I don't know why, but they did.
They didn't listen before they agreed to do this. They have no idea what we do.
Yeah, there's a lot of like technology podcasts out there, I'm sure, but they picked us.
Yep.
And we're not going to question it. We're just going to take advantage of this situation with this, our new segment. What's the segment called?
How wonderful is that then?
How wonderful is that?
How wonderful is that?
Oh, I'll tell you how wonderful that is with an article from 1978.
Oh,
I love that.
Advanced technology, I'm sure.
Oh, it is. Because in 1978, in Sydney, Australia, on April 1st, a man.
Don't make fun of my speech impediment. I can't help it.
April 1st.
I can't help it. That is mean. You're mean.
Wade.
Don't be mean.
Jeez.
That's my birthday. My birthday falls between the 1st and the 4th. Otherwise, it was the 1st.
All right. You know, whatever. Anyway, so on April 1st.
Happy birthday, me.
Dick Smith, an electronics millionaire.
Sure.
Right?
Okay.
And this is 1978, remember? So this is way back in the day. There weren't too many electronics.
I'm not laughing now that he's a millionaire.
Yeah, an electronic millionaire, Dick Smith, pulled an April Fool's prank on Sydney today by sailing into the harbor towing what appeared to be an iceberg. With a radio reporter broadcasting from the iceberg, Mr. Smith fooled harborside residents, radio listeners, and many newsmen. The iceberg was a barge covered with white plastic sheets, shaving cream, and firefighting foam. In the gloom and drizzle of early dawn, it looked like the real thing. The whole prank only cost me $1,450, Mr. Smith said. I just do these things for kicks. It takes the boredom out of everyday work.
Wow.
I hope nobody needed that firefighting cream.
I'm sure there was plenty extra.
I didn't know firefighters used cream. I thought they used water.
The foam. Firefighting foam.
I didn't know they used foam. I thought they used water.
You know what comes out of some fire extinguishers? Although I will say modernly it's more powder than foam. But still, foam is a type of fire extinguisher.
I forgot fire extinguishers exist. I was only thinking of fire hydrants.
Interesting.
There's a system of elaborate pipes run through every neighborhood to all the fire hydrants to distribute the foam. Kids on the streets of New York City, crank those bad boys open and
I don't have all the same intel that Mark and you have.
Anyway, the reason I bring this up is because it's fascinating now that not only is Dick Smith an electronic millionaire from 1978, but the fact that I can get this information from a scanned copy of the New York Times from 1978 right here on my computer today.
That is a good perspective.
Thank you.
It's amazing what's available.
Thank you.
Our generation, and especially younger generations, are used to having everything at your fingertips, even stuff that was only analog media, even newspapers from the time before the internet existed. It's hard to appreciate that.
What was the thing called that we used to have to use to look at old articles? Like something fish or something where we had to like go back and scan old newspapers?
Swedish fish.
They tasted delicious while you researched.
Yeah, that seems right. Moving on. All right.
Okay.
moving on. We're going to move on.
Okay.
No, we're moving on.
Great.
All right. So we're getting into the real meat of the episode now. This is the competition has officially started. Nothing has occurred yet. The way this is going to go, I have, through our lead researcher, our distinguished award-winning researcher, Pamela Horton, has done her due diligence and dug up so many fascinating stories on the internet, and you guys are going to now listen to them. And basically, we're just going to talk about them. And whoever makes me laugh might get a point, might not get a point. I'll award them throughout the episode. We're not really going to focus on it because we have been in too much of each other's business these past few weeks, and we're just going to tone it all back down, all right?
Were you guys in my business?
I was so in your
business.
That's
going to bother me. What was that called?
Microfiche. I thought you were doing a bit.
No.
They're called microfiche.
I'm really stupid, okay? I'm a brilliant idiot, but I'm really stupid.
They're little fishes, Wade.
Microfiche.
That is really
like,
good
I believe
description.
It's F-I-S-C-H-E. fiche. Microfiche. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means.
Oh, I thought it was actually called microfish.
No, that was a joke. That's just a joke.
Yeah, that's a joke.
So it's not called fiche? Which is the... Am I the joke?
No.
Now, if you Google it, the first thing that comes up is microfish spelled like the animal fish. Oh, that's just tiny fishes. Oh.
F-I-C-H-E.
Microfiche. All one word. F-I-C-H-E.
Lowercase F-E with a line over it. Big S, big H. How do you pronounce that?
It's pronounced
I have fish. No idea.
Microfiche. Emphasis is on the sh. Microfiche. Okay.
All right, good.
We learned something today.
Did we?
This is why I wanted to move on. This is why I wanted to move on.
Oh, fine. It's your episode. Do what you want to do.
I mean, I will.
Good. Then do it then.
Great.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential?
You're talking about the potential.
The potential? You thought to yourself, oh, a little elbow grease, some fresh installs, a little bit of love. You could transform that body full of rust into a baby that's all your own.
Cars, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't take much to transform my ride.
Your ride's more like Schrodinger's ride. If you don't think about it, it both does and does not exist.
It is possible.
But on eBay Motors, anything is possible. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you can make sure your ride stays running smoothly. They got brake kits, LED headlights, exhaust kits, turbochargers, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
With eBay Guaranteed Fit, they're guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. That's ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Guys, I found another subscription. It's not even one. They keep coming.
What? That's crazy.
But that's okay, because I could use Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money can help you have full control over subscriptions, have a clear view of your expenses.
If there's anything in there that says, like, hey, please cancel this for me, don't press it.
I'm going to go press all of those buttons. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/distractible. That's rocketmoney.com/distractible. rocketmoney.com/distractible. You should get that, Mark. It's probably important.
Oh, no way.
All right, so the first article is 90 Day Fiancé star sells farts in a jar, ends up in hospital.
I love this story.
You know the story?
I know the story, and I love this story.
Have we talked about this?
Did we talk about this?
We did not talk about this story.
It sounds familiar, but okay.
Yeah. If you guys would like to get more of this and you like this episode, go check out our live streams on the Distractible YouTube channel. There goes our plug. Mm. Did it. Nailed it. Fucking
nice.
Nailed it.
Great.
All right.
Sure, we didn't talk about this. We're getting older. We might have.
We didn't are talk getting about this. Older. Is that the theme of today's episode?
It's not the theme. We didn't talk about this.
Okay.
I know, because I deleted every time. Are you questioning Pamela Horton, our lead distinguished award-winning researcher's integrity?
I'm really questioning yours, if anyone's.
Somebody.
Why mine?
You're the one.
We did not do this.
All right. Well, I'm sure everyone will tell us on the subreddit.
Maybe this was the list Pam had of things we did do.
We didn't do it.
All right.
I know this story and it's very funny.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the fart in the jar.
All right. This is from All That's Interesting, written by Adam Farley. Stephanie Motto sold her jarred flatulence for $1,000 a jar.
Oh my God.
$1,000 a jar and made over $200,000 in her 2 month venture while subsisting.
That's a lot of farts.
Yes. While subsisting on a diet of yogurt, eggs, and beans.
Ooh.
And ended up in the hospital when she thought she was having a heart attack.
I'm having deja vu.
When did this happen to you?
We talked about this.
Oh, you're not letting that go. Listen, we're letting Mark dies on this sword, okay? We didn't talk about this ever before.
Okay, yeah. We have never talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
200,000, so that's 1,000, so what? That 200 farts in 2 months? That seems reasonable.
How much are my farts worth?
I don't know. You got to put them on the open market.
I have a lot of farts. So even if it's less per jar, I get a lot of volume.
That's 3 to 4 bottled farts a day, assuming she takes no days off from farting.
Uh-huh.
How do you collect that?
Jar.
You feel the fart? You coming? You grab the jar?
No, but like you don't want to waste it, right? I'm imagining like a gas mask. With like the contour of the butt cheeks cut out so that it goes, it's an airtight seal.
Yeah.
And then the hose from the gas mask is capped. And then like you know, farts are hard to capture. They go everywhere, man.
Yeah.
I think I farted on the other side of the room.
Heat rises, right? So you need to hold the jar upside down and have a tube go to it like this. And then you unseal and seal it. And that fart won't come out because it's rising because it's from inside of you. And are these only trustworthy farts? Like what if she like had a little come out? Does she throw those jars away?
Oh, that costs more, dude.
Oh, okay.
Kidding me? You're getting extra. You did this.
This is a terrible conversation. We definitely didn't talk about this article because we would have gone down this horrible path already and we would remember that. Unless we purged it from our memory.
Well, we're worse now than we used to be. I don't know.
I remember talking about a little coming out before, but maybe it was a different topic.
It's a common theme.
Yeah. So for 2 months straight, she spent her days farting into glass jars with flower petals adorning the inside.
Ooh.
And shipping them to fans. Remarkably, Motto was able to make $50,000 per week in December. That doesn't math out.
That's more than the amount she made in total, article.
Maybe she made negative amounts the other month.
Oh, in December. It was Christmas.
Oh, sure. Okay.
You know, there was a big rush.
Of course.
Through fart sales alone, and eventually sold more than $200,000 worth of farts worldwide through the adult website. I can't even pronounce it.
What?
Whatever. Doesn't matter. I don't know.
El Farte.
It's just called ULFILTRD. I don't know. D.
Oh. El Farted.
Anyway, but. In January 2021, disaster struck. Motto was hospitalized for what she thought was a heart attack, but turned out to be a dangerous buildup of gas inside her body from her flatulence-inducing diet. And now, she says her fart-selling days are behind her.
Oh, okay.
It's a pun. Her farts are behind her.
I don't know if that qualifies as a pun, but it's not clearly not one, I guess.
It's a true statement. If they're in front of her, there's a problem.
Yeah, apparently at one point, she sold 97 jars over 2 days.
Oh, my God.
So there must have been an initial serve, because if this was $1,000 a jar, I don't even think bathwater was that expensive.
She's a true content creator, though. We don't really make content the way she makes it. She really makes it.
I mean, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know how much content you're going to get out of a fart jar.
You could have like an OnlyFans fart bottling stream.
I just like to imagine that she was doing this and was faking it,
mm-hmm.
had found like a mixture of methane and other scents and was making like fake fart smell,
mm-hmm.
and sold all these. And some guy was like, it's not a real fart. That's not how farts are.
Resident fart connoisseur Ricky Fartson reached out to us and said, in fact, these are fake farts.
And that like got back. He like messaged her and was like, I know what you're doing. You're misleading everyone. This is not going to go away quietly, okay? And she was like, I have to do something dramatic to take the heat off.
Send me 3 bottles of real fart or else I'm going to leak this.
No, I'm just saying this is how she ended up in the hospital.
Oh.
She paid off some doctors and was like, oh, a heart attack.
Oh, they're all in on it.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And did the whole thing is a scam, but the hospital visit was to buy sympathy and take the heat off. Everyone
would
like,
go to the hospital like with something serious going on and like make videos of content while in the hospital. That seems like a terrible thing to do.
All right. And it's interesting you say that. Someone else is getting points in this particular round. I'm just like, I forgot. I haven't been writing points down. I was saying something about it.
Oh, fuck you. That's funny.
Anyway, so just to finish this out, quote, as luck would have it, once I put the jars up for sale, they began to sell like hotcakes. I honestly could not believe the demand. I think a lot of people have this fetish in secret. I began this venture by eating mostly protein shakes, protein muffins, and also hard-boiled eggs. But when most of the world was celebrating the new year, Stephanie Motto had to check herself into the hospital when her lifestyle became unsustainable.
See less of that, right? That doesn't seem unsustainable. You just got the balance off.
No. Ridiculous. Can you believe how unhealthy you'd be after protein muffins, shakes, and hard-boiled eggs, which is definitely not pretty similar to what I eat on a daily basis.
She had a gas buildup. It sounds like she just had a lot more content left to produce.
The content is every day, bro, man.
She could have used that to make a special hospital series of jars.
She was full of content.
It's really the secondary market, because if there's less supply after this event, then as the resale value of these, I imagine it's like wine, you know, it really matures over time.
How do you sip a fart jar? Without just loosing the entire fart out of the... How do you savor a fart jar?
You get like you know, one of those oxygen like things you put up your nose, and you get like a tank and you just like gotta squeeze it.
And then you breathe it back in. Oh.
Yeah, it dilutes it a little, but you hold it in your lungs and then you exhale it back into the jar and seal it back up.
Oh my god. Okay, it's terrible.
I like to imagine it's like wine. There's like a decanter. There's a whole apparatus. Mm-hmm. You unseal the jar into a bag. The bag goes on a holder.
Waft it a little bit, let it breathe.
It's like a hookah. There's a number of things around so you can all share.
Yeah, it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
I have a big party. Like I've had a 2020, I forget her name, but a Jennifer, what's her name, fart. And the guy's like, oh, I brought my 2018 Jennifer. We should compare them side by side. That would be fascinating.
I've got the 1948 Marilyn Monroe.
Wow, so rare.
I hear there's a big counterfeit market for those these days. You really got to watch out.
But I paid millions.
I paid millions. All right. Anyway, so that wraps up that story, because I don't want to talk about it anymore. Okay. There's actually more to the article, but I'm kind of over it.
Oh, come on.
No.
Where are we going to sell farts or burps or something?
You could do it at any time. You are in control of your destiny.
We gotta sell a set where there's three jars that are one each of us separately, and then one mix. A blend.
We had three peens in a pod. What if we have three farts in a jar? We have a mixture.
Okay. Yeah,
three men, one jar. Could be a viral video.
Oh my
god. It could work. It would work. But we'll discuss that in the next distractible meeting that we have, you know, our daily meeting.
Okay, sure.
Great.
All right, so the next article, there were some points award for that, just so you guys know.
Okay, cool.
Hopefully a lot for me for insulting you thoroughly.
Uh-huh. Next article is from news.com.au. Elephant tramples woman to death, then attacks her corpse at funeral.
Oh,
I've heard of that one too. Yeah, apparently like there's theories about whether it was true or not.
Mm-hmm.
There's also theories about whether she was like nice to the elephant or mean to the elephant or had nothing to do with the elephant. But like the original story that came out was what? She was like a dick to the elephant. So the elephant killed her, then was like, it hated her so much, it went to her funeral and killed her again.
Well, I was about to read the article, but I guess you got it.
Do you get points for that?
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, I was kind of imagining that she was dating the elephant and she just dumped him in a really inconsiderate way. And the elephant was like, well, elephants can't go to jail. I'm going to get my revenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, apparently, so according to Ben Kesslin of the New York Post, a 70-year-old woman in India was trampled to death by an elephant, and her corpse was then bizarrely attacked by the same beast at her funeral, according to a report. Police said Maya Murmu had been fetching water from a well in the eastern Indian state of Odisha on Thursday when an elephant came barreling toward her, according to the print India. The tusked pachyderm had apparently escaped from the Dalma Wildlife Sanctuary, which is located in a neighboring state. The elephant trampled the woman, who ultimately died of her injuries at a nearby hospital, police told the outlet Saturday. Murmu's family was then performing her last rites before lighting a funeral pyre when the elephant allegedly returned and grabbed her body.
It was in the audience, took off a mustache, was like, it's me! Sorry.
I was waiting for you to ask who objects, but I guess that's weddings, not funerals.
Are there any objections? objections to her being buried?
Why, yes!
Me!
There are!
I paid him to ask if there were objections, even though it doesn't make any sense. I just wanted it to be dramatic.
Yes. So the animal grabbed her body and threw the corpse up into the air and then ran away, the local outlet reported.
Laughing as he ran away.
This was mighty illegal. I must flee.
God. Apparently, the family was able to continue the ceremony and the elephant did not return.
It's good.
So I guess...
well, maybe they knew. Maybe that happened and all of her family was like, well, that's fair.
That's fair.
Just put her back in the casket or whatever. Put her back and let's get... she knows what she did.
This will be a story you read to your kids one day. Instead of Horton hears a hoot, it'll be Corton kills a Karen. And we'll be like,
yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, one day the elephant came back, ripped off its mustache, and stomped Karen to death again.
Mm-hmm. It's a good story for why to be kind to wildlife.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a cautionary tale.
Yeah, who knows if this is true, but it's not like you set up a funeral instantaneously. It takes some time. And it's not like elephants are very stealthy unless they have mustaches, and then who knows what's going on.
They announce it in the newspaper sometimes. It'll be like, you know, the death sections. Maybe the elephant was reading the obituaries.
The elephant's reading that bitch.
They're burying her. I stomped her to oblivion. I'm gonna stomp her again. She doesn't deserve to be on the 16th page of this paper.
Anyway, this overly polite, but also like UK level supervillain with a big twirly mustache tying people to railroad tracks. Elephant here.
Sure, yeah.
Where's the elephant now? What happened to it?
Ran away.
How hard is it to find an elephant? Are there just a lot of elephants? Is it blending in or is it?
It ran away, man. I don't know what to tell you.
I can't believe local authorities didn't start a statewide elephant hunt. Huh?
Yeah. All right. That's the point. That's the point. Yeah. That's the point. All right. Okay. All right. Anyway, that closes that article out. Thank you so much for participating in that one.
I won't read your next one ahead of time. I'll let you read it. I swear we've done all this before. I am living in a world of deja vu today. We all did this, didn't we? Both these stories.
No, we didn't.
You're asking me, the man who can't remember a damn thing? I don't know.
Reddit, subreddit, help me.
You may have read...
Am I a madman?
You may have read it before, I don't know, but it doesn't mean that, like, we've talked about it before.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess that's that.
I guess that is that. Okay. So this one actually is a little concerning, and I think
I've heard this one before.
Oh,
okay. Sorry, go ahead. I won't spoil it. Sorry.
So this one is like a little concerning, and I kind of want to like have a discussion about it. So this is published on NPR, right? So NPR's website by Sarah Handel and Michael Levitt. This 830-million-year-old crystal might contain life, and we're about to open it.
Ooh.
From lemons to ham, salt is a handy food preservative. But researchers studying some really old salt crystals found them preserving something else, evidence of life. Quote, these are little cubes of the original liquid from which that salt grew. And the surprise for us is that we also saw shapes that are consistent with what we know and expect as microorganisms, said Kathy Bennison, a geologist at West Virginia University. Quote, and they could be still surviving within that 830-million-year-old preserved microhabitat. The salt crystals, aka halite, that Bennison and her team studied were originally found in Central Australia. Bennison was part of the team that published these findings in the journal Geology. There's a video that shows like the salt crystals in question. Although the idea that these microorganisms could still be alive is mind-boggling, Bennison said science backed it up. Quote, we know by studying life in modern extreme environments that there are organisms that are able to undergo like a survival mode, almost like a hibernation. They're still alive, but they slow down all of their biological activities. Bennison's spec said, if there are in fact microorganisms in the crystal, they could be alive in a dormant state. The halite would need to be opened in order to confirm that this is in fact organic matter and that it is still alive. While cracking it might seem like a bold choice, we're currently battling a global pandemic caused by microscopic viruses after all. Bennison plans to do just that.
Mm.
But she said that there was no need to worry. Is there a need to worry?
They spent so long wondering if they could, they didn't stop to think about whether or not they should. Don't they know life finds a way?
Thanks, Jeff.
Salt pox coming to an us near us.
What?
Salt pox.
Salt pox?
Salt pox. Bring it. Salt 19.
That is the premise of like a pandemic horror movie. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. But the question is, like, if there is life, like, what would it be like? It's obviously, like, there were single cell organisms back then, but this is 830 million years stuck.
His blood pressure will be really high from all that salt.
That's true.
I laughed, buddy.
Don't laugh at that.
What period was it 130 million years ago?
830 million.
800. What was that, one of the Jurassic, Miassic periods?
I don't know. You could Google it. I have no idea.
I'll look, Wade.
30 million.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Bob.
The Proterozoic.
Oh, you got that.
Proterozoic. Most of the continental mass at that time was united as the supercontinent Rodinia, who then fought Godzilla later on, I think. Okay.
Mm-hmm. What article are you reading?
I found a Wikipedia that confirms what he's saying, so.
Earth.com.
All right. Okay. Well, it's interesting. The article continues. It really does sound like a bad B movie, but there is a lot of detailed work here, work that's been going on for years try to figure out how to do that in the safest way possible. Bonnie Baxter, a biologist in Salt Lake City, was not involved in the study, but still offered some comforting words. An environmental organism that has never seen a human is not going to have the mechanism to get inside of us and cause disease. So I personally, from a science perspective, have no fear of that. When have we heard that before? Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, what is a Maya? Is a Maya millions of years ago? MYA?
A what?
Yeah. Is 1,830 MYA, Maya, but it's like capital M.
Million years ago.
That's what I figure. Like, this doesn't explain it. Okay. I just want to make sure this is correct.
Oh, okay.
830 Maya. There you go. Proterozoic. I answered my question. Thank you, me. Good work, me. Continue.
I really like that biologist's name. I just imagine her walking into the lab like, biologist Bonnie Baxter, bet you about a dollar I can break that bad boy open. Wow.
The Looney Tunes character.
Why are you a fast-talking snake oil salesman?
She pulls out a giant mallet and just hits the crystal.
Yeah. Well, you guys have spent so long looking at it, you just need this hammer.
Oh, would you look at that? The beauty's busted wide open. Barely broke a sweat.
Bonnie Baxter, you're the best.
That's me, biologist Bonnie Baxter. I'd better be getting along now. I'll be back, though.
I love Bonnie Baxter. Bonnie Baxter's the best.
Bonnie Baxter will return. I don't know if I can do that. That's a copyrighted theme, probably.
I think it was bad enough they couldn't tell.
All right, okay.
There you go.
Anyway, that sounds like a thing that could end humanity.
Well, I mean, for me, it's like, they're probably right about that. 830 million years, that's a lot of catching up they have to do in the evolutionary food chain.
We're immune to that.
We're immune. Yeah, I'm worried more about those microorganisms. I think they're going to be fucked as soon as that thing cracks open.
They wake up, they're like, what happened?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
They're from a world without Starbucks or YouTube.
Crack it open, you give them a frappuccino.
They're from a hard time. They had to live in just unbelievable conditions, you know?
Give them a cigarette and a frappuccino to make sure they start off right.
That made me think of this TikTok that I saved a while back. I hope I could pull it up like relatively quickly, but it was a trend going around that was like giving, like this would kill a Victorian child, like if you gave them like a popsicle or something like that. But there was one here. Oh God, give me 2 seconds. I know it's here somewhere. Oh, fuck. There it is. Okay, so POV, you went back in time and gave a medieval woman a vibrator, right? So it's like, as soon as you give this thing a frappuccino, it's just like, it's like fucking amazing.
Are we implying that a vibrator would kill a medieval woman?
They didn't get to have orgasms, Wade.
Oh, I thought that was a myth.
God.
I mean, no, I cause them all the time.
I cause them.
Those are a side effect of being around me.
It's like that discussion we had about Mark at the camp, and the kid was like 8 inches around. Like, some middle schooler's like, you don't even know what an orgasm is. I bet you think that's a myth. They're like, no, I cause them all the time. I cause one to your mom yesterday.
you know, have you ever seen, like, there's a comic of Wolverine, and, you know, it's a comic about this mutant whose powers are out of control, and he has to kill him. It's just like, there's this guy in a corner, his powers that he causes orgasms throughout the world. Wolverine has to walk up, he's the only one that can endure it. It's like... At the end of X-Men 3, you know, when he says to walk up, no, Phoenix, no, I'll finish you up.
It's like a weird porn premise.
Everyone's lying around like, ah!
A bunch of cheaply costumed X-Men walk up to a stranger in a trench coat, and he just, like, waves his hand, and they're all like, ah! What's happening?
Wolverine's got his claws out, he's clawing his way up.
Literally has to dig it in the ground each time. Here, bum.
Impossible! No one can resist my orgasm beam!
Anyway, so that's what'll happen if we crack open that salt crystal, so we shouldn't do it.
We're all gonna have insane orgasms.
Oh, man, yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Wolverine, please don't kill us.
That's weird. Wouldn't have called that one. Biologist Bonnie Baxter knew it would happen. You can bet on me, baby.
All right, so the next article is something else about in the past how things were weird.
Okay.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
According to The Atlantic, article by Julie Beck, when nostalgia used to be considered a disease.
Oh,
yes.
Yay.
Yes.
I remember the good old days.
He's sick! Put him down! Get him! He's contagious! I too remember the good old days!
Oh, God, he's causing us to remember!
I mean, pretty much. Like, so the article goes, people who like to bring up old Nickelodeon cartoons at parties, you know who you are, should be grateful it's not a few hundred years ago. We'd have license to leech them, bully them, and maybe even bury them alive.
Leech them.
Wade, your impression was not too far off.
God.
These were some of the treatments proposed for nostalgia during the 17th to 19th century, when it was considered a psychopathological disorder. Rather than a blanket term for fondness for anything that existed more than 30 minutes ago. Swiss physician Johannes Hofer.
Swiss physician.
Oh, come on. We gotta let it go sometimes. It's not his fault,
come on,
man.
It's not my fault, man. Swiss physician.
It's not his fault.
Swiss physician.
Oh, there you
Johannes
go.
Hofer.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Coined the term in his 1688.
Oh, God, that just took me back. Your forbidden thing. What the hell was that?
Rocking forbidden.
Oh, that's my God. Man, dude, nostalgia. You're old. Good
what
day.
Is
put
that?
Me down. Put me down. I remember. I'm sorry, everyone. I must go. Leech me.
Oh, man. So Johannes Hofer coined the term in his 1688 medical dissertation from the Greek nostos, or homecoming, and algos, for pain. The disease was similar to paranoia, except the sufferer was manic with longing. Not perceived persecution.
Someone just, like, gets dumped. They're like, oh, I miss my wife. Things were so much.
You miss her? That was the past. You feel nostalgia?
Why are you missing her? She's dead, idiot. She's gone.
Stone him to death.
God.
Anyway, manic with longing, not perceived persecution, and similar to melancholy, except specific to an object or place. Though Hofer is credited with naming nostalgia, it existed prior to that. During the 30 Years' War, at least 6 soldiers were discharged from the Spanish Army of Flanders with... El mal de corazón. The disease came to be associated with soldiers, particularly Swiss soldiers, who were reportedly so susceptible to nostalgia that when they heard a particular Swiss milking song, Kurien, I don't know what the that is.
Sure, sure.
Will, please play KHUE-REYEN or a little snippet of it so people can understand.
Ah, Bailey, hear that song? Remember when we weren't at war and we were at home? Good times, good times. Get him out of my platoon! You hear them reminiscing on the good old days before we were fighting in this war? Get him out of here!
You have an American drill sergeant in the Swiss army, the Spanish army of Flanders.
Lay, get them out of here!
There you go.
Is that better?
You know you're Swiss, man. I gotta give you some bonus points for that.
There might be some holes in my argument. Like there isn't my cheese. My le cheese.
It's a Swiss thing.
I'm sorry, all of Swiss land.
Oh no, it gets worse. Oh, I didn't read this part. Also disposed to nostalgia were children sent to the countryside to no. nurse.
Oh, how dare they?
I don't know what that means.
I remember mother's breast. Mother's breast? Put him down!
God.
Young men between 20 and 30 and women who left home to be domestic servants.
Oh. How dare they long for the good old days? Stake them through the heart while they sleep, otherwise they might come back and give us nostalgia.
Good God, autumn was a particularly dangerous season, the falling leaves perhaps reminding marching soldiers of their impermanence and making them wondering why they were spending their limited time on this earth bloodying their swords in distant lands instead of enjoying the comforts of home and hearth.
Lay Jim, you have to let her go. You can't keep her locked in the basement. We have to put her down.
No, I just can't. I know she's remembering the good old days, but I just can't let her go. Maybe she'll come back. Maybe she'll like the present time.
No, Lay Jim, you've got to. You got to let her out. We've got to put her down. Lay Tim, I don't know if I can Lay do it.
Lay Tim and Lay Jim. Do they hang out with Lay Bim?
God, do you guys remember F7, U12? Oh, they used Lay all the time. Oh, Lay Doge. Oh. All right.
I like to imagine them trying to deal with where the cutoff is for that. With Jim and Lay Tim are hanging out, and one of them is like, do you remember when to that restaurant? I can't remember the name of it. You remember? And the other guy's like, no. it escapes me.
They had really good food. Remember how good their food was? The place there is just not as good now.
That was a week and a half ago. What are you talking about?
The guy's holding a shot. Guy's got a tear going down his face. I'm sorry that you remember, but I can't.
Do you remember?
I want to see the rabbits. Yeah, think of the rabbits. Quickly, think of the rabbits. Think of the rabbits. All right, aside from the nostalgia epidemic itself, there was also an outbreak of fake nostalgia among soldiers who would pretend to miss their friends and
to get discharged.
To get out of fighting.
God, I miss my girlfriend back home.
You don't have a girlfriend back home. You're single.
I miss her very much. My nostalgia is very strong for her.
Yeah, because the joke was on them as, quote, true nostalgics would just retreat into themselves without revealing why they were suffering.
God, you're nostalgic and you have to talk about it?
Faker. God, I wish my stupid family.
Oh, my God.
I miss
God.
My dumb dad so much. Oh, I wish I could see my douchebag brothers again.
You hear him complain, you know, I miss my family, but I don't have to talk about it. Him talking about it all the time must mean it's fake. He's a faker nostalgic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So
he's doing it for the clicks.
Everything under the sun could apparently cause nostalgia, from a too lenient education, coming from the mountains, unfulfilled ambition, masturbation, eating unusual food, and love. Quote,
I remember beating my meat as a young lad.
Living in the country, living in the city, living in the confusing area between the country and the city, being tall, being short.
There's a qualifier on love, and love, quote, especially happy love, Roth's paper notes.
I really miss my unhappy love. Oh, the good old days when we used to scream at each other angrily and be really miserable. Oh, those were the days.
God.
Far be it from me to question why they decided this was such a terrifying ailment.
Oh, man.
Usually there's stuff where it's like, oh, well, you're a witch. Witches are evil. And it's like, well, that doesn't make any fucking sense, but at the time they saw something and they were like, oh, that's dangerous, or it goes against our religion or whatever. Like, it's things that have happened that people have believed can seem insane to us, but it's because we know something or science is advanced or whatever. Like, we learned about how stuff works and views have changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is the explanation for this?
I Googled nostalgia. I Googled cures for nostalgia. Uh-huh. And apparently nostalgia can cause depression. There's nostalgic depression.
Sure.
However, right now, nostalgia and homesickness are not themselves currently regarded as mental disorders. I mean, this is actually a thing people have asked.
Fools.
I guess maybe there's overwhelming nostalgia that like impacts your life.
There is heartache, and I get that.
Called obsession. I think it's called obsession.
That can get really like it, like everything in excess, it could be bad. So the treatment in those days, it depended on the situation. For a little boy who missed
his... They did it right back then. What was it?
For a little boy who missed his wet nurse, doctors brought her back and then slowly conditioned him to spend time away from her. However...
Okay, that's reasonable.
French doctor Jordan Lecran thought nostalgia should be treated by, quote, inciting pain and terror.
God. Quote. Oh, my God.
You missed your wet nurse. Wait till you see your dry nurse.
Oh, no.
Bring in Big Jim.
Oh,
Big Big Jim.
This is now where the lace actually makes sense, so it's good.
You're interested in babysitting our son. You're interested in babysitting little Brandon. So what's your training? You're sort of like a wet nurse? Like, no, I'm actually a dry nurse. I use natural homeopathic remedies. I don't believe in liquid or dampness. It's really not what babies need.
We also watch Friday the 13th reruns together at midnight before I put them to bed. Nightmare's good, then the therapy's working.
Yes.
I don't know why, but that reminded me of Futurama on the Freedom Day episode where Nixon's giving a speech or whatever, and he's like, we're all free. You're free to not pay your taxes. All you have to do is spend a weekend with the pain monster. This big monster on the edge of the frame is just like, see you April 15th, everybody.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we just call him Le Big Jim.
Yeah, Lecointe, C-O-I-N-T-E, cited the example of, we'll put in the Google text-to-speech, whatever the pronunciation that is.
Lecointe.
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 A Russian army's outbreak of nostalgia in 1733 on its way to Germany. The general told the troops that the first one to come down the nostalgic virus would be buried alive and actually make good on his threat a couple times, which nipped that right in the bud. When nostalgia finally made its way to the United States after the Civil War, the, quote, scare it out of them tactic was replaced with, quote, shame it out of them. American military doctrine.
I miss my parents. Oh, you miss your parents. You.
I'm in my parents. That's you. That's what you sound like.
Oh, they're dead. Boo fucking who. Life's so hard.
I miss when I wasn't fighting in a world war.
Oh, you live on the streets with no family. Oh, boo boo.
All my brothers and my dad died in the war. I wish they were still alive.
Oh, it's civil war. It's a brother against brother. Oh, it's such a tragedy. Ooh.
It's embarrassing. Do you hear yourself? Shameful.
American military doctor Teddy Calhoun thought nostalgia was something to be ashamed of, that those who suffered from it were unmanly, idle, and weak-willed. He proposed curing it with a healthy dose of public ridicule and bullying. Maybe this is why most people don't feel nostalgic about middle school. Other dubious cures tried over the years include leeches, purging the stomach, and, quote, warm hypnotic emotions.
Oh, whoa. Hey, oh, I got some questions about those last two things.
One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong.
You're just sitting in the doctor like, man, it still really hurts, doc. Like, you think I tore something? Or like, no, it's an easy fix, really. I'm going to prescribe you 3 weeks of warm hypnotic emulsions.
What is an emulsion?
Like, what is that?
It doesn't explain.
I know what an emulsion is. An emulsion in cooking language is like a vinaigrette is an emulsion. It is things emulsified into oil, meaning suspended in the oil. So like mayonnaise is an emulsion of oil into like an egg yolk or, you know, things like that. But I can't imagine what a warm hypnotic, it's a drink maybe? It's like a tonic?
Maybe with like LSD mixed in. I have no idea.
They drip warm water on you.
Right in your forehead over and over again. I like, either way, doctors did sometimes go with the obvious solution of just letting the patients go home, which more often than not cleared their symptoms right up. But even that wasn't guaranteed to work if the home they longed for had changed significantly or just no longer existed.
Well, that'll happen.
That'll happen, I guess.
Man, I can't believe there's life and that we remember the past.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Crazy.
I just struggle. I'm really still searching for, like, why...
Why?
Why is that bad? What is the harm they're afraid of? Having soldiers who are not stone hard machines of murder? Like, this seems to be very military centered, right?
Yeah.
So it's like they're afraid they're not going to follow orders or something because they're too nostalgic.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's really all it was. It's just like you have these soldiers who clearly don't want to be there, know they might die, and just are like, I miss my mom. And then
I miss my mom.
The only way to. Come on, man. I heard they shelled my hometown.
La Big Tim, get in here. La Big Jim, get in here too.
Oh, Big Jim, no.
Shame him. Leech him. Emulsion him.
Emulsify him.
Emotional damage.
Drizzle him into the mixer while it emulsifies.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
So anyway, it's basically that's the end of the article. There's really today, you know, it's not as drastic a treatment for nostalgia, but you know.
Are there modern treatments for nostalgia? Isn't it like visit home or something? I mean, I'm sure people who serve in the armed forces or otherwise are like out of their country or doing something where they're committed for some reason to do something somewhere else feel it. But like we have cell phones and stuff. I don't know. What are the other treatments?
You know what kind of is a weird relation to this is liminal spaces. Because I think one of the definitions of liminal spaces is that the place in the picture or whatever looks familiar. It feels like something from your childhood or like that you've been before, but it's terrifying. I think this might be the evolution of Le Quentin's pain and terror. LeCointe's pain and terror theory of solution. By turning our nostalgic memories into nightmare fuel, we can get over our weak soy boy manlet status and actually become like iron machines of death that we were designed to be, right?
Dude, liminal spaces are creepy.
Liminal spaces are creepy.
You know what's an interesting deep dive? It's not that deep, honestly. There's a lot of it. There are a lot of abandoned mall and otherwise abandoned location videos on like YouTube and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. A lot of it's like, oh, it's a wet room that where the roof collapsed. They'll find little vignettes of like people left their lunch or weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's spooky. There's something subtly, like atmospherically spooky about that sort of thing.
Yeah, it is. Just like it just has that feeling of like something is not right. It's like if you were at a mall at night, it would not feel right.
Right.
Yeah. Just the emptiness of the space.
Or it's like just... if you've ever gone back to like your high school during like the nighttime when it's dark and all the lights are off and it's basically empty, which is you're only ever, you know, generally you're only really at school when there's like hundreds of other kids there or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Even my house, even like home, my house, like we had the power outage, like walking around our house with no power.
Oh yeah.
Like normally there's lights you don't even think about, like lights from like the oven or the microwave or like electronics or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just used to that at least being there, but like just the pure pitch blackness and silence because there's nothing running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just weird. It's something you're not used to. And when you have something that feels like patterns that you've established in your mind and then they're not there anymore, that can be even scarier than anything before. So I think that concludes that one. I have one more article here.
Before you do your last one, I have a little insert. People have been asking.
Okay.
I do have a Soulja Boy update.
Oh,
Ooh. Shit.
Soulja Boy tweeted, and it provoked a couple articles to come out. He tweeted, and I quote, monkeypox. End quote. And the follow-up articles say he denies having monkeypox. That's it for your Soulja Boy update. Thank you all for tuning in.
Wow.
Interesting.
So mysterious.
August 9th. That was as of August 9th, a few weeks ago now. I don't know. A while ago.
This would have been a much more cryptic tweet if it happened a year ago before we all knew monkeypox was even a thing. Can you imagine that?
That'd be way cooler. That'd be way cooler.
I could lie and pretend that's what it was, but...
Let's do that.
Yeah.
We have no integrity here.
He tweeted about it in July of 2021?
Weird.
July of 2009?
Creepy.
He tweeted about it before Twitter?
Oh.
Twitter existed in 2008. 8? Hey Siri, when Twitter?
I googled Twitter how old.
Twitter how old? Twitter how old?
2006. Twitter how old? March 21st, 2006.
Mm. When Twitter create? Yeah, I found the same answer.
Wow.
All right, you guys ready for the last article?
Yes.
Yes.
This article is provided to us from AmusingPlanet.com by Kashik Patowery. Shantytown, slum-themed resort for the tasteless rich.
Excuse me?
Oh, God.
Yep. Themed hotels and restaurants can offer people an alternative and fantastic experience and can be quite popular among tourists when done tastefully. But Shantytown is possibly one of the most tasteless and insensitive themed resorts ever created. Located near Bloemfontein in South Africa. I'm going to put this in the Discord because I don't know. You guys.
I think you pretty much nailed it.
Good luck with that. Bloemfontein. Bloemfontein.
Bloemfontein.
In South Africa, the slum-themed luxury resort operated by Amoya Luxury Hotel and Spa looks like a slum, but only from the outside.
Bloemfontein. Bloemfontein.
Is that how you do it?
I just looked it up. Bloemfontein.
All right, cool. Bloemfontein. The resort consists of a dozen shacks made of scrap wood and corrugated metal, but is equipped with conveniences such as running water, electricity, geysers. Geysers?
Bro, I don't even have geysers. They have geysers at this hotel?
Yeah, what?
Really,
what
they,
the
got hell? They got geysers or geezers. I don't know. Yeah, it could be either.
Only if you're English.
Yeah. And even underfloor heating and wireless internet access. To make the stay a bit more authentic, though, the operators have installed paraffin lamps, candles, and battery-operated radios, as well as the famous long-drop toilet. Famous.
The what?
Long-drop toilet, you know.
I've got an idea, guys. Let's find an impoverished area, kick everybody that lives there out, we buy it up,
okay.
Build walls, and then we bring in like some of those people that now are homeless. We let them wander around, but we charge tons and tons of money for rich people to come stay there and pretend that they live there instead.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, a long drop toilet, aka a pit latrine.
It's pronounced pit latrine.
Is a hole in the ground where you build an outhouse over it.
It's an outhouse.
So you poop into a big hole in the ground, and it's a long drop for your poops.
Where's the hole go?
Nowhere. Oh. It fills up, and then you just got a shit-filled hole in the ground.
Yep, what everyone loves.
How do you empty that hole? Do you just build a new outhouse?
Dig a new one and scooch the outhouse over.
Oh, God, this is a big one. Oh, I feel... Pick up the outhouse and, like, scoot over to the next hole. There we go. Oh, I can continue.
I don't know how massive your shits are or how small the holes you dig are, but I don't think that you would not know you're about to fill it before you sit down. But I love the imagery. I do enjoy
it. It's like a Flintstones car for your outhouse.
Is it seat 4 as well? Everyone help paddle.
And then 4 holes? Yeah, you could have a group poo.
So just to paint a word picture, because yeah. You described it, but I had trouble imagining. Mm-hmm. It's not like a big hotel with like corrugated metal all over the outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an assortment of shacks that look kind of like jangly shacks, but have all the things you said.
Yeah.
And there's like 12 of them in this picture organized around a central...
Probably like a cooking area?
Yeah, mess hall or something.
Maybe that's the poop hole? It could be the poop hole. I don't know.
It's a communal drop toilet.
Yes, yes.
See, my idea is not so crazy. A Flintstone
toilet.
It's
not so crazy. Yeah, not so crazy. So, but people have criticized it. It costs about $82 a night, right? That's pretty reasonable.
Sure.
A little less than half the average monthly salary of a South African, and more than most slum dwellers can ever dream of making in a month. The themed resort has drawn flack from all around, with critics using strong words such as offensive, insensitive, tasteless, and vulgar.
They would think that, because they can't afford to stay there. Plebeians.
Yeah. Oh, I love this quote from the hotel's website.
Mm-hmm.
A shanty usually consists of old, corrugated iron sheets or any other waterproof material, which is constructed in such a way to form a small house or shelter where they may live for some time. Yeah, also known as the place humans live in places around the world, because that's all they can get.
Yep.
I don't have any trouble understanding how this is offensive, and especially in wait, before I say this, let me fact check myself.
Mm-hmm. You know, we could donate money to help these people get better living, or, you know, we could go stay at the hotel to get a better understanding of what it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm no expert on this, so I'm by no means claiming that I know what I'm talking about. It's located in South Africa, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The country where apartheid happened.
Yes.
And where I'm imagining shanties and the style of living that they are mocking slash emulating had a lot to do with the violence and segregation and subjugation of the black people in South Africa. And this is a luxury hotel where they're like, oh, white folks, come live in a shanty. It's so quaint. What the hell?
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
No?
That doesn't
nothing?
Sound, no, definitely not.
Guys, I want you to know, surprise, I got us all tickets so we can go stay for a week.
We're actually recording from our shanties right now.
Drop your green screens, boys.
We are streaming from Shantytown Bloemfontein.
We're all in the drop toilets.
That is a grand presumption. I am by no means knowledgeable about that. But in a country where there was a history of dramatic inequities and violence and things.
Oh, come on, Bob. Are they still on about that?
This seems like I could see how you could make that connection and how there's possibly roots in that part of their history.
Yeah.
That's just weird. That's
anyway,
so weird.
It is weird.
The benefits outweighs the means because the shantytown, quote, is ideal for braais.
Oh.
What?
B-R-A-A-I-S. Braais.
Bras. Those are good for boobs.
Braais. Mm-hmm. Fancy theme parties and an experience of a lifetime. Accommodates up to 52 guests. Our shanties are completely safe and child-friendly.
And not at all shanties.
End quote.
I would love to take my son to go sit on the communal toilet with some strangers in a shanty town.
No, you'd bring your friends. It wouldn't be strangers.
Oh, of course. The whole family.
Anyway.
Oh, there's more pictures. There's a picture of the circular thing in the middle. It's filled with a bunch of chairs made out of tires, sticks, and metal mesh.
Yep.
Fancy. Whatever they're going for, adjective.
What's
I guess.
This place called?
Shantytown.
Shantytown.
It's just called Shantytown.
Bloemfontein.
Yep.
Yes.
Your son's like, I want to go to Disney. We have Disney at home. Disney at home.
Yep. Just as good. Just as many memories.
No, Litim. We're going to Shantytown.
Litim.
I want to go to Disney. Oh, you'll love this even more.
That's kind of just awful.
Yeah. But also, yeah.
My conclusion is I hate this. It's awful.
When are they going to have like a really nice luxurious resort that like people that don't make a big living can go stay at for like $2 a year or something? Less profitable, but hey, you know, I think it's a good thing to do, maybe. Give people that need housing some housing. That's a crazy concept, isn't it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know if a hotel is really housing. I guess it could be.
Mm. Well, we'll call it a hotel, but maybe it's like more permanent.
What if we just created normal housing for people in places where they might want to live?
What is normal, Bob?
Yeah, what
Who decides
normal?
What normal is?
Yeah,
well,
come on, man.
That's a pretty fair question, but...
We run a podcast. You know, we only wipe our asses with the finest of silk golden sheets. Is that normal? Because to me, it is.
Oh, my real laugh came out. Sorry. I mean,
anyway,
who uses that paper on their ass, the poor.
That will wrap up our episode for today. Thank you so much for participating.
I feel
gang.
Like I lost.
Well, let me tabulate the scores.
You can forfeit if you want.
Yeah, do you
want
to forfeit?
I don't know. After my jokes, if people don't understand my sarcasm, I might have forfeited my career after this one.
We'll see about that. Because according to my score, and I was keeping very close watch, initially, Bob, you were in the lead very strongly, but Wade had this string of jokes that went back to back in the nostalgia article that just hit after hit after hit. And with that, Wade climbed back up by 1 point to succeed and win in that episode. Congratulations, Wade. You, by sheer quantity of jokes output, some hit, some didn't. I think you made your way to the top.
I've built a career on quantity over quality. Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome. It was a tough go of it. Bob, you very closely brought it back, but sadly, today goes to Wade.
Sadly?
Sadly, yes, very sadly.
Okay, well, you just said that idea that was in your brain out loud, didn't you?
No, I meant to say it nice and out loud. I have no regrets about what I said. I meant what I said.
There's a certain number of devoted followers, 5, that really like when I host.
Mm-hmm. Well, give you our winner's speech. Congratulations.
Oh, I win. It's good to be back on top. It's been a long time since I've gotten to host. One episode, in fact, in between. So I can't wait to host again and give you all the show of a lifetime. Or just another rehash of something I've done before.
All right. Loser speech?
Yep. I'm going to lose like a winner and not complain about how much I've won or lost on this show. Lately, it's been rough for me, but you don't hear me complaining about how dramatically unfair some of the recent episodes have been.
What do you mean lately it's been rough? Are you implying that there was a better time for you in the olden days? Are you feeling nostalgic for your olden wins?
I love right now. I'm looking forward to the future, honestly.
Put him in the drop toilet. That's the only thing that'll cure him.
The big Jim, get in here.
Anything I miss tomorrow.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody,
so much
for being here. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day. We have big news that we won't tell you. Go find Wade at Lord Minion 777 or Minion 777. Bob is back on Twitch at MySkirm. You can find him there. He'll be streaming regularly or semi-regularly or whenever the hell he feels like it. He's a free man.
I'm free boy.
Yeah, and I can be found at Markiplier, you know where, and also other places. And thank you. Have a good day. Podcast out.
Wade wins! See you all again in a week for more Destructible. Brought to you by Intel. Boom, 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 boom.